In the world, how do we value a person?
In the world, how do we value a person?
If you come to the book of Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. But let him who glorify in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For this I did I, says the Lord. 23 and 24 is talking about what does a God delight and what does a human being delight? And you can see they are totally different. What the human being delight actually is a way people value another person. I think from the ancient time until now, the human nature never changed. The first one is the wise man glory in his wisdom. So, wisdom nowadays can be understood in a way of education. Because without wisdom, you cannot receive too good education. Oh, some people are very wise. Their memory just like a copy machine, right? When they go through the book, they can remember it, they can understand it. If you had that kind of wisdom, that kind of so smart, right? And you can receive good education. So this is the first one. People value a person by his education. So wisdom nowadays referring to education. The second one, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Might means capability. And capability can be translated in what? When you work in a company, if you are more capable than others, what are you going to do? You have good performance. Plus you have good education and you are more capable. So in the invisible ladder, in the company, you can climb higher and higher. So your position will be higher and higher. So how do people value another person? Now is whether he's capable or not. How do you know? Look into the position in the company, and you know. More capable than others, your position will be higher. The third one is, well, the rich man glory in his riches. This is, everybody know it, right? We value a man mainly by how rich the person made. How much money the person made every year. So these are three common ways people measure another one. Right? Education and position, what kind of work, position in a company, and how much money he made. Right? But in the eyes of God, of course, you can be rich, you can have good position, very smart, good education. All of these are the blessing of God. But God does not value a person based on this. Then how does God value a person? How does God value a person? God doesn't value a person based on this, right? People value a person based on this, but God doesn't value a person based on this. Then how does God value a person? You don't know. The most valuable person in the Bible, who are they? Well, who is he? The most valuable person in the eyes of God. The most valuable person in the eyes of God. Huh? Jesus Christ, right? Yes. And another one is what? The most valuable person in the eyes of God. Huh? People. Oh, okay. Any other answer? The most valuable person is Adam. Why? Because Adam was created with the image of God. Oh, right? The image of God without sin. Oh, so God, look at Adam. What did God say? Everything is fine. It's good. God created everything is fine. It's good because Adam has the image of God. But when Adam commits sin, what happened? Adam outwardly looks the same. Right? The sinner and the righteous person outwardly look the same. Right? But spiritually, you look from the spiritual perspective. You put on the spiritual eyeglass and look at it. Adam already lose nobility because inside him there is no image of God. Oh. Inside him there is only sin. Oh. And Jesus Christ also is the one who reflects the image of God. So in the eyes of God, Jesus was very noble. Oh. So how does God value a person? Oh. Whether we look have the image of God or not. If we have the image of God, like Adam before committing sin, or like Jesus Christ, then in the eyes of God, we are the most valuable person. Oh. So you can see there are two set of value system. Oh. There are two set of value system. One is the system set up by God, which is the spiritual system. Another one is the system set up by man, which is a worldly system. Oh. Well, if we can be very valuable person in the world, fine. You are not evil. You are not. It's not sin. It's a blessing of God. But this value, oh, people are pursuing, will pass away. Oh, even before you retire, oh, this kind of value will disappear. Gradually decline. So this kind of value, right? Oh, just like a flower. When it's fully fully blossomed, right? The flower is the most beautiful one, but it will gradually wither. Why do I say so? I say so because we are going to study chapter 25 to 32. Oh. Chapter 25 to 32, the judgment against various kingdoms. Oh. Why did God judge them? Why did God do something against them? Because in the eyes of God, they have no value. But in the worldly standard, the various kingdoms nowadays, like what? Like America, like European country, highly developed, a good culture, good technology, prosperity, good education. Oh. In that generation, this various kingdom are actually very valuable.
However, God judged them. God was against them.
Now, we come back to Ezekiel, start from chapter 25. From chapter 26, you look into the teaching material, A5. Roman character 5, the judgment against the various kingdoms. 1. The Ammonite, Moabite, Edomite, and Palestine. God against them. If we compare chapter 25 to 32 and anything mentioned before chapter 25, we mentioned that before, right? God punished the various kingdoms is to destroy them. So when God punished them, there's no hope. But when God punished the chosen people, it's not to destroy them, to make them wake up, to make them return to God. So there is hope. After they return to God, God will show mercy to them. So God treats these two groups of people differently. One is chosen people, but the other one is not the chosen people. Chosen people is the one who make covenant with God. So even though they face the judgment of God, but God still has mercy to them. For those who are not chosen people, they have sinned. So they have to face the judgment of God. When they face the judgment of God, there is no mercy there, because there is no covenant there. So today that's a different. That's the difference. We are the chosen people of God. God cleanses our sin. We have covenant with God. So if we deviated into the world and we don't listen to God's warning, God will chastise us. But God will not abandon us. God wants to bring us back to Him. That is totally different the way we God treat the Gentile. Now, you look into the point two, prophecy against Tyre and Sidon. Right? Tyre and Sidon at that time were commercial city. Commercial city means what? They know how to do business. And they make a lot of money. And commercial city, since they make a lot of money, they are in prosperity. And since commercial city, there's a lot of foreigners coming on and going out, and those who do the business always the most smart person. Just right now in the United States, a lot of smart person are going to study what? Not going to study technology. They are going to study MBA, how to do the investment, this and that, right? Also, the smart person in that generation, they all go and after the commercial field. So chapter 26 to 28, you can see the Tyre and Sidon, why God tried to destroy them. Destroy them. From point 6 verse. Point 6 talk about chapter 26, verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 2. Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the people. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. So what does that mean? When Jerusalem was their destruction in ruined, Tyre was very happy. And Tyre delight in other people's misfortune, in the misfortune of the Jerusalem. That is to show that Tyre actually referring to the people living there. Tyrant is a city filled with pride.
Do you know when we are humble, right? When we are humble, we see other people being chastised by God. Then we will be very careful about ourselves. Oh, maybe I have that kind of shortcoming. So, we will never feel happy when some people being chastised by God, if we are humble. But what is a proud person? The proud person means when a person sees some people being chastised by God, we feel very happy. Why? Because we feel, I have nothing wrong, so God did not chastise me. And he has something wrong, so God chastised him. So when God chastised him, God does not chastise me, means I am better than him. Oh. So sometimes we feel a kind of sense of satisfaction and sense of joy. Or you see the wicked deserve to die. We feel very, very happy. And that is a sign we are proud. Oh. So sometimes proud is hidden inside us. Do you know, so profound. Oh. If we are not helping by the Holy Spirit, not being enlightened by the truth, sometimes proud just hid inside us. We don't know by ourselves. Oh. If we look into chapter 25, let's come back to chapter 25. Verse 5-6. And I will make a Rabbah, a stable for the camel, and Ammon a resting place for the frog. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 6. For thus says the Lord God, because you clap your hand, stamp your feet, and rejoice in the heart with all your disdain for the land of Israel. Oh. You see? They feel very happy, joyful, because they saw the Israel was punished by God. So what happened? Verse 7. Indeed, therefore, I will stretch out my hand against you and give you the plunder to the nation, and will cut you off from the people, and I will cause you to perish from the countries. I will destroy you, and you shall know I am the Lord. Oh. So what does that mean? When we see other people suffer, don't feel happy. If we are rejoicing because other people suffer, first, it is a sign we are proud. And if we are proud, we are in the beginning of what? God's anger. We are in the beginning of God's destruction. So, proud should never be allowed. And this proud happens in when we feel happy about other people's misfortune. So, tyrant repeat the same mistake. When they knew Jerusalem lay desolated, they feel happy. So, this is the first sign of pride. And this is the reason God is going to hold them accountable. Now we come back to chapter 27, verse 8. Chapter 7, verse 8. Inhabitant of Sidon and Arad were your oarsmen, your wise men, O Tyre, were in you. They become your pilot. So Tyre has a lot of wise men. And the wise men become their pilot. The pilot also the one who guides the direction. So because there was a lot of wise men, they were able to guide them to do a very successful business. So they are very proud about themselves. So you know, education is very important, right? Whether a country can be very prosper in the long term or not, all depends on education. You know, right now, Brazil actually start to become prosperous. One day I talked with a brother who is living in Brazil. He said, even right now, the stock market keep on climbing, right? But
he did not have a good outlook about the future of Brazil. Because why? If you look into the statistic, the education in Brazil is almost in the last 10 in the world. If you put it in the rank 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? People are not well educated. Even graduate from high school, they don't know how to read their diploma. Can you imagine? Graduate from high school don't know how to read the diploma, right? So the tyrant, a wise man there, today means good education. Even a country of people, a lot of good education, very wise, they were able to guide the country into the right direction. Oh. So they feel very proud about themselves. Verse 9. Elders of Saber and its wise men were in you. Cock your sims and all the sheep of the sea and their oarsmen were in you to market your merchandise. So because of wise men, the guidance, they were able to do successful business. So this is the first reason they feel very proud about themselves, because a lot of wise men guide your direction to a better business. The second one, chapter 27, verse 11. Let's just start from verse 10. And those from Persia, Lydia, and Libya were in your arms as men of war, and they hand sealed and hammered in you, and they give splendor to you. Verse 11. Men of Arvid with your army were on your wall all around. And the men of garment were in your tower. They hang their shield on your wall all around. And they make your beauty perfect. So what does that mean? Verse 10 and 11 talk about they have a lot of strong warrior, which means military might, military power. So this will make a lot of people feel proud about themselves, because they are mighty warrior are there. You know, after United States has gone through so many wars, the United States become very humble, right? You go to Iraq, you go to Afghanistan, but can you really fight a victorious battle? Even United States is so advanced technology, so advanced weapon. But you're going to see, still the victory not in sight. When they get involved in the Vietnam War, eventually it's now ended in a very glorious way. The same thing in that time, the tyrant feel very proud of themselves, they have military might. This second reason make them feel very proud about themselves. Now in today's country, you talk about military power. In terms of individual, you talk about capability. You're more capable than others. So one person can handle 2-3 person's business, right? In a company, you are able to manage a company very successfully and keep on making the money. Stock market, your stock price keep on climbing of your money, your company, right? Stock price keep on climbing. Then we are very confident about ourselves, proud about ourselves. So this is the second reason. Second sign of pride. The third one, splendor, chapter 27, verse 25. The sheep of the Tarshish
or carrier of your merchandise. You will feel and very glorious in the midst of the seas.
And 27, your riches, wares, and merchandise, your mariner and pilots, your caulkers and the merchandiser, all your men and war were in you. So they have a lot of money. So the city of Tyre and Sidon was very proud about themselves because of business, they make a lot of money.
Of course, having money is a blessing of God, but usually having money is very difficult to be humble. You know, money is something outside, but money will make a person have a feeling that I am superior than others. So money itself is neutral. Not because I have money, so I'm a sinner. Not because I don't have money, I'm a righteous person. Money itself is a neutral. But once a person has more money, it tends, the person will feel superior than others. Why? Because you have money, you can buy a house in the what? Good area. You have money, you can buy a good car. You have money, you when you take a flight, you can have a you can take a first class, right? When you have money, you can live a 5-star hotel. Everything is better than others. When everything is better than others, in our subconscious, we feel that we are better than others. We are unaware that when you say we, it's only talk about superficial sense. So it's very difficult for rich men to be humble. So they become proud. So the next one is chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 27, verse 3. And say to Tyre, you are situated at the entrance of the sea, merchant of the people on many coastal land. Thus says the Lord your God. O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. What is it? Perfect in beauty. That city was situated in a harbor and very beautiful. So they are very proud about themselves. Very beautiful city. Right. And today there are two senses, right? The first sense is a country. If the country in a very good location, for example, if you come from Somalia, Africa, Somalia, right? You will never feel proud about it yourself, right? Because Somalia is in the sub-Sahara desert. Everywhere is desert. No water. But if you come from a very beautiful land, Switzerland or some kind of that kind of country, right? Sometimes you feel a little bit proud about yourself because I live in that so good, so beautiful land. No. Then that exactly happened in the city of Tyre and Sidon. They feel very proud about themselves because the city looks so beautiful, situated in a very beautiful seashore area. But the worst part is not that. The worst part is chapter 28. Chapter 28, from verse 1 to verse 10. In the bottom of their heart, they consider themselves equal to God. And this is the worst part. And this part actually, the main cause, bring them destruction. Now, let's look into it and to see what that means. Chapter 28, verse 2. Son of man, says the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up. How come the heart was lifted up? Because what we mentioned, a wise man, a strong warrior, and very rich,
and also a beautiful city. So all of this make together, your heart will lift it up. And you say, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the middle of the sea. Yet you are a man, not a God. Although you set your heart as the heart of God. So verse 2, they sit in the seat of God. So in the heart they feel, I am God. So that is the very destructive mentality. So nowadays, most of people, in their heart, who is the greatest one? I think most of people, the greatest one is themselves. So it's very difficult to listen to others. It's very difficult for them to believe in God because they consider themselves like God. So this has become a very proud. But so verse 2 talk about you are not God, you are nothing but man. Do you know the one of the philosophical trend called New Age? New Age movement. New Age movement is quite harmful for Christians. Because the New Age movement have a essential thinking, which means you have the potential to be like God. So if you try to develop your potential, you can do everything. This is the thinking of the New Age. So the thinking of New Age are welcomed by a lot of people. Why? Because you can become like God. And people like to listen to this kind of thinking. You can be like God. You have great potential. The only thing today you have so many problems because your potential has not been fully utilized yet. And this kind of thinking is different from the teaching of the Bible. The teaching of the Bible, we are nothing but human beings. So even in the counseling, right? Maybe some of you study psychology. If you go to the bookstore, counseling can be divided into two categories. The one type of counseling is God-centered. The other type of counseling is man-centered. Man-centered means we human beings, we have our own resources to resolve our own problem. So counseling is try to wake up your own awareness about your own potential. And give you some kind of reflection so you know your problem and you use your own potential to resolve your problem. There's no need to have God. But when we turn into the other side of the counseling, God-centered counseling. God-centered counseling, they have to admit, I'm human being, so a lot of things I don't know. The second is, I'm limited, so a lot of problems I can resolve by myself. The third one is, I'm imperfect. I have sinful nature. And this sinful nature can never be removed by human being. So the God-centered, that kind of counseling, based on these three understanding, human beings are very limited. Human beings are under control of sinful nature. This kind of concept. So the direction is we have to come back to God so that our problem can be resolved. So when we read the book of chapter 28, talk about Tyre and Sidon was destroyed because their pride, they consider themselves as wise as God. Nowadays, almost it happened to this generation. Even people not openly say, I am God, but in the bottom of their heart, they consider themselves almost equal with God. Now, verse 3, chapter 28, verse 3. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. This try to be, sarcastic? There is no secret that can be hidden from you. Daniel was a very wise person. Right? Verse 4. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver. So wisdom, or nowadays education, always connected to riches. And verse 5. But your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Now let's turn into one verse. The book of Amos. Amos chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in the Mount of Samaria, a notable person in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel come. Woe to those who are in ease, live an easy life. Who can live an easy life? The one who are rich, just like a city of Tyre and Sidon. Right? Then you look into their lifestyle. Verse 4. Who lie in bed of ivory, stretch out their couches, and eat lamb from the flock, and the calves from the meat of the stall. They eat the best one. And they lie down on bed of ivory. They sleep on the best bed and best couch. Then verse 5. Who sing idly to the sound of the stringed instrument and invade themselves the musical instrument like a David. So they have a lot of entertainment because of their richness. And verse 6, who drink the wine from a bowl and anoint themselves with the best ointment. They have a lot of what? Different drinking to make them feel comfortable. They have best things for makeup. But this kind of lifestyle, if verse 6, they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. So he eventually lived in this kind of very expensive lifestyle because of their richness. They were not able to suffer. And they were not able to know they live in sin. So verse 7, chapter 6, verse 7. Therefore they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who reclined and the banquet shall be removed. All their richness, their enjoyment of the life will be changed. So let's come back to chapter 28. We talk about the Tyre and Sidon, right? Chapter 28, verse 11. Moreover, the words of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up the lamentation of the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord your God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13, you were in Adam in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. and to the end. Workmanship of your timbrel and pipe were prepared for you on the day were created. So in verse 12, there's a sentence full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Right? Everything is perfect in the city of Sidon and Tyre. But only one thing is not perfect. In the eyes of God, they become proud. In the eyes of God, there's no humility. In the eyes of God, they have a lot of sin. So the destruction is coming. So when we compare to this description, the Tyre and Sidon, with nowadays our environment, the world we are living, actually we are repeating the same thing. People are pursuing business, making the money, pursuing education, pursuing achievement, and enjoy their life, and in their heart they feel they are God. In their life is perfect. So nowadays we are very similar to the day in the Sidon and Tyre. And in page 86, the second shortcoming of the city, the first one is pride, the second one is corruption. So chapter 26. It's talk about their corruption. Because of the corruption, so attack of God is coming. Chapter 26, verse 7. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with a horse, with a chariot and with a horseman, and with a mighty, with many people. Okay, verse 21. And I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Lord. So the city will be destroyed totally. Because of their pride, the judgment and the sentence of God will come to them. And chapter 27, from 26 to 36, is talk about the city, these two cities, Tyre and Sidon, will be totally in ruined, will totally in destruction. And continuing from 28 and 29, it's talk about Egypt. Even the Egypt at that time was very strong, but later on, the Egypt will be destroyed. Egypt will be given to Babylon. Now we look into chapter 29, Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 19. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He will take away her wealth, carry off her spoil, and remove her pillage, and will be the wage of his army. So God will give Egypt into Babylon. So from here we understand that history actually is under the direction of God. So, until chapter 32, God strengthened the arm of Babylon. Babylon will become strong because God wants to use Babylon as an instrument. Okay. We still have four sections, and then we are going to continue from 33 onwards to the end is the comfort of Israel. From 33 to 48, you can see the future of the TJC there. You can see God's blessing to his people. So from 33 onwards to the end, you can see more positive message. So all the negative side already finished at 32. Now we're going to go into positive one, start from next session. that prince. Amen. 10 minutes prayer.